There's lots of moments in life that change your life forever. But for me, I think the moments that changed my life more than anything were those moments, those days when I became a father. Joanne and I have four kids, and with each one, when they were born, I would hold that child, and I would be amazed that a new person had come into the world, and that this person was of me and Joanne. And then I would look at this child and wonder, what is this kid going to be like? What will she do with her life? Will he finish his education at high school? Will he go to university or even beyond? Will she like to travel, or will she be a homebody? What kind of friends is he going to have? What career will she choose? What will be her accomplishments? What will people remember him for? Will he be happy? Will she be someone who worships the Lord and wants to serve him? Well, I wondered those things. And when Mary, the mother of Jesus, was herself born, her parents must have wondered some of those same things as they held their newly born daughter. Will she look like his side of the family or hers? Will she be really gregarious? Will she have a finely developed sense of humor? Which of these boys that are in this committee, which is the one who will become her partner in life? Will she have children of her own someday? But there are some questions that I wonder about that wouldn't have crossed the minds of Mary's parents. Mary was a girl born in the land of Israel during a time of Roman occupation, and her opportunities were pretty limited. Girls in that culture and in that day didn't get very much education at all. People didn't travel the way that people travel now. They thought, maybe she'll probably go to Jerusalem at some time, but she won't go any further than that. She would never take a vacation. People didn't do that kind of thing back then. She wouldn't have career choices. She would become a homemaker. She'd become a mother, a wife, and she would find her place in society and function in the context of the village that she was in. She was born in a backwater of the Roman Empire, a country, a region that was obscure and, according to most in that day, deemed very insignificant. Even in Israel itself, when people would think about Galilee, that region in the north, when they would think about, if they ever would think about it, Nazareth was an insignificant town and an insignificant part of Israel, which itself was an insignificant part of the Roman Empire. And Mary was born into a family that was deemed insignificant even within all that insignificance. Now, Mary was about the smallest person that you could have imagined. A boy maybe could think that they would have a lasting impact. A boy could become a rabbi, could become a teacher, gain a following, even have some acclaim as a wise person. But not so for girls. Mary was the ultimate in minor. Yet, Scripture tells us that the Lord looked down on the earth from his throne, and he saw Mary, and he noticed her. Where everybody else's attention was off to the rich and the famous or the prominent, the Lord's attention, the Creator God, his attention was on Mary. And he called her specifically, specially. And the Lord used her. He touched her. He blessed her. He made Mary famous. And while her whole life is indeed a beautiful testimony to her faith and her service and her legacy, there is something about Mary. I mean, think of all the churches, think of all the buildings, all the schools, think of all the books that have been written about Mary. And you say, she is no longer insignificant. But what I want to draw your attention to is not so much Mary, even though we do want, as we have been looking at the forebears of Jesus, especially the women that were in his family tree, we want to look at Mary as the one who actually in her body produced the Savior of the world. I want you to see what this says about God. When people would look at those that drew their attention, that captured their imagination, they did not see Mary. And that means that what impresses God is different than what impresses the world. And that which doesn't impress the world is super important to him. While the world pays homage to the rich and famous, the beautiful and the powerful, and doesn't slow down for the ordinary or the average, God has a special place in his heart for the person who doesn't stand out from the crowd. Scripture says that there is a special place in the heart of God for the poor. And it is the marginalized that he seems to take special note of and tells his people, do not forget the poor. Don't get bedazzled by the baubles and beads of the famous and disregard the humility of the small. The Lord loves the marginalized. We also see in Scripture that those who are rich and are powerful and are beautiful and have every advantage according to the world are so very often dethroned and emptied. It's a symptom of our age that we think a lot of ourselves and believe that our possibilities are endless. Even when I would look at Joanne's and my babies, the future that I saw for them was always extraordinary. I would hold my daughter and I would think to myself, I think that I am holding a future Prime Minister of Canada. Or I would hold my son and say, this is the one who will finally cure cancer. This is the one who will write the great Canadian novel. My child Her name is going to be up in lights. Well, my children are all adults. They're all grown and they are all engaged in their careers. Some of them, many of you know, some of them not so much. It's more likely that I and they and we will all find our way in the world, will do what we can, we will do the best we can to live with honor, we will be good members of society and faithful members of the church, and eventually, my children, and you will die. And even my children, my beloved children, my wonderful kids, brimming, overflowing with possibilities, in the day, they too will be forgotten. I was watching a YouTube video and I came across one where this man goes into the woods and he finds these abandoned cemeteries and reads the names that are still discernible under the moss on these tombstones, and you hear the name and you've got no idea. No one alive remembers these people. But God remembers them. And God will always remember my children. And the Lord will always remember you. He will not forget you. And the church of Jesus Christ, of which I pray you are a part, and if you are not, then I hope that you will not forget you either. Well, our names might be lost to time. But when the people of God think about the church that Jesus came to draw to himself, then we think of that multitude of people that gather around the throne, that celebrate the victory of the Lamb, that praise God that Jesus came to be God with us, then we know that we will all be there. We will be part of the community, part of the fellowship, part of the throng that celebrates the victory of Christ. One generation will call out to the next, and we will say, Jesus is Lord. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Mary had a role in salvation history that meant that her name would not be forgotten. Future generations will call you blessed, Mary, and we in this generation say she is blessed as the one who delivered Christ into the world. Well, we too have a name that is spoken as well, and your name is precious to the Lord. Your name is loved by God. Your name is filled with his love. Your name is the one who has received mercy. Now, God is the one that sets things right and turns things upside down. When the world says you are small, God says you are exalted in my presence because you are part of the community of my Son. And as he sets your life right, I pray that on this Christmas day and in the season to come, indeed throughout your life, that you will know that truth, that you will find your bearing in Jesus and do that which is right. My friends, it has been my privilege for these years to be the one who spoke the gospel to you, who read scripture and talked about it. You've allowed me into your homes to be your pastor, and you have shown kindness to me and allowed me to be the servant of the Lord among you. I thank you for that. I wish you and Bethel Church the Lord's blessing, and may you go in peace and continue to be blessed. Amen.